Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Monday for me. We're back here for the Tuesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so you can look for a brand new one popping up over there sometime tomorrow. But while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, hey, we greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, you can find Dan and I on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at? All right, well, Dan, you know, you have to help me figure this one out, because I am just kind of completely lost when it comes to the. Now, you know, every Sunday, Mr. Fantasy and I come on here, and you know, we do our, you know, we give everybody our game picks, and then we go through and we set up fantasy lineups and try to help people out. For whatever reason, and I don't understand why, I suck at picking football lineups. And I just don't know why that is. You know, like I'm looking here, I believe this is the lineup I did on air. Is that the one? Yeah, it got 106.4 points. He won over 100 bucks with all his lineups over the weekend, or on Sunday, I should say. I did 5 lineups, and the most I scored was 124 points. And I don't know. I'm so disappointed. I've won one time in football. I've actually already won more in hockey and in NASCAR than I have in football. I actually won 50 cents in NASCAR over the weekend.
That was an invite only.
That was what?
Invited me. That was an invite only.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got to help me out here. What's my football problem? I don't understand it.
Maybe sometimes you look for guys that are under the radar too much, but then it's hard to know that's how Mr. But I know Mr. Fantasy does the same thing, so it's hard to even use that as an excuse, you know?
So yeah, because you know I'm looking already here for next week, and you know FanDuel's already got, there's 3 free rolls already posted. There'll probably be a 4th one later in the week. You know, Dan, I got to tell you, I don't even feel like playing them. You know, I mean, it's turning into just a gigantic waste of my time. I mean, I go through, you know, I make sure that, you know, it's like, okay, this guy's not hurt, this guy's gonna play. You know, this team has a great matchup. They should put up some numbers. And, you know, it's almost like I jinx these guys when it comes to me picking them, as weird as that sounds. And, you know, and it's kind of like, okay, why does this guy suck? So.
Have you picked Mitchell Trubisky at all this season?
Yes, I actually did use him. It was a week or it was 2, maybe 3 weeks ago. I used him with a couple Bears in a lineup. But you know, like even this week, you know, speaking of Bears, I had Jordan Howard. you know, it looked like it would be a good game for them to, you know, give him a decent amount of carries because, you know, it was a game they should win and, you know, they should run the ball. Yeah, he got 11 carries for 21 yards. That really helped me out. So.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to get any carries really much anymore.
So, yeah, it's just kind of like, you know, you look at it and you're like, okay, well, here's an opportunity. Like the lineup I did on air, I had Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara. They both did really well for me. The rest of the lineup sucked. You know, and it's just like I can't figure out what Mr. Fantasy is doing that I just can't figure out. Cause, you know, I mean, I know he's putting in multiple lineups. You know, we're all doing more than one lineup. But whatever he's got going, he's managing to win with his, and I'm a bumbling idiot. I mean, if you listen to the podcast on Sunday, don't listen to anything I got to say because it ain't going to help you. So.
Well, I was wrong. There was a league you invited me to that I wasn't able to get in, but I did get in NASCAR, and I did win 50 cents also.
Oh, well, that's good. See? You know, I mean, on the plus side, at least in our Yahoo League, I won both my games. You know, of course, I was playing a dead team in one of the leagues, so I better win that game, but...
Yeah, my team that was five on a five-win streak lost to my nephews who won one game or two games this season. And I would have won, albeit thanks to the Buffalo Bills, who don't know how to use quarterbacks and pass to Kelvin Benjamin.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's the other thing. I mean, we didn't even get into that with the NFL. How in the hell did the Jets go out and lay such an egg at home? Now, I mean, you know, it's like, okay, if you were on the road, I could see you, maybe you choke one off. And, you know, those things happen to teams, okay. At home against the Bills, they were like the definition of embarrassment. So, yeah, that's the other odd thing, you know, when it comes to our picks. I mean, none of us had that one.
Oh, not even me, because I beat you guys this week.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you killed us this week. Well, I don't know about killed. You were just better. You were 10-4. Stu was 9-5. I was 8-6, and Mr. Fantasy was 7-7. But yeah, you know, that was one of the games that, you know, like, no surprise, we all had the Jets. I believe the majority of people in the world took the Jets, and you know, they did. You? Oh, were you? No, you did have the Bills, didn't you? Yeah, that worked out for you. But, yeah, and then you know, I still can't figure out what the hell happened in New England.
We all picked them.
So, yeah, you know, and it's humorous because it's almost to that point where it's like, oh, all these guys have them? Okay, well, then they're going to lose. So.
No, and I had myself making 11 wins.
Do you? What do I have here? Let's see. You had Atlanta who lost, New England who lost, Jacksonville that lost, and Philadelphia that lost.
I thought the Colts lost.
No, the Colts ended up winning.
Oh, damn it. I'll have to fix that later.
So, yeah.
Maybe because I was doing so good with Blake and Dante that I figured they won.
So yeah, it was just, you know, strange. You know, I was kind of like, oh, okay, you know, what's going on here? But yeah, I don't know. Yeah, it's just been, you know, and again, you know, at least this year I won one time. You know, last year I went through the entire football season without winning anything on FanDuel. You know, talk about that impossibility. I didn't even win a dime last year. But, yeah,
well,
so, yeah, it's just quite frustrating.
And for me, I pretty much give it up on Sundays. And I, I actually won doing a just the Thursday night game.
Oh yeah, so
sticking to that. Because I am just not, we were out to dinner Sunday for my parents' anniversary / Thanksgiving, and my sister brought her new boyfriend along. I guess not new, they've been together for a while now. And he's a big fantasy guy, too. So, we were talking about the yearly, the Yahoos, and I told him, I go, I'm in fifth place in the one league that, my nephew's beating me in today. And I go, he's like, oh, do you do FanDuel? I'm like, no, occasionally I just do the Thursday nights because I don't win. I go, me being in fifth place in the Yahoo League, it's the first time I've ever in playoff position in the league ever. So
yeah.
I just, for whatever reason, I just don't know football like I do baseball.
Did you mention to him that it was 20 teams, so he didn't think you were?
Yeah. He goes, oh, that's so wow. He's like, it's hard to get 20 guys.
Yeah, we know that. Since we're on football, Dan, let's knock out a couple of these other things that popped up today. Le'Veon Bell didn't report. He's going to walk away from $15.5 million this season and try again next year. Dan, I it's to the point where, you want to hold out, great. I don't know what's wrong with making $14.5 million, except he thinks he's worth $20-plus million. What's he going to do next year, Dan, when he's not offered $20-plus million from a team? Because he's not going to get that kind of money, is he?
I want to say no, but, you and I all both also said that there's no way he's going to walk away from this.
Yeah, I'm actually really surprised that he wandered away from, he was losing, $855,000 a week.
Yeah.
So,
I don't see him getting it. If, obviously, like the Bears, they're not going to pay him, which, even if they considered it, I think I'd quit being a Bears fan.
you look around, and probably the teams that could offer him that money are going to be teams he's probably not going to want to play for. The one team that popped into my head, because they seemed to try to be in on everybody last year, was the Jets. But I just don't know, if they're going to be willing to tie up that much money in a guy. So,
isn't now that conceivable that maybe a team does offer him $20 million for one season?
I do wonder how he would react to that, if a team gave him a front-loaded contract and, say he made $20 million this year, but then it goes down to whatever the going rate is for a top running back, be it $14, $15 million. I wonder if he would be willing to accept that kind of deal or, if he would see it as a slap in the face. He would get his one payday that he wants, and then that would be it. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you see them doing anything like that possibly?
No, I don't see it happening. I don't really see him taking a deal like that.
I don't know. I wonder if it's on a – I'm trying to remember who his agent is. Off the top of my head, I can't Can't figure it out. Let me see if I can bing it here real quick for us, because I know you like the bing thing. So we'll see if it will come up for me. But yeah, it's just kind of baffling on how it would go. Would they take something like that? Would they? Do they have it here? Come on. Oh, no, they don't have who he's represented by. That's disappointing. I pulled up Pro Football Reference with him, figured they would have the agents like they do for baseball, and they don't have it. Yeah, that was a... Yeah, probably. So yeah, let me see if I can find him there really quickly. But yeah, I just you start to wonder. I mean, are you of the idea that this helps or hurts him? You know, because I hear a lot of guys saying, well, you know, he's had the whole year off, he's got the rest of his body. But he's also put another year of age on himself, he hasn't taken the hits, blah, blah, blah. What side do you come down on?
I mean, like you said, it does help him that he hasn't put the hits on his body, but, just looking at Adrian Peterson and the time he got off for suspensions and how he went from possibly being one of the greatest running backs you've ever seen play the game to being picked up and dropped numerous times.
Yeah. Kind of being average, I guess you would call him now, wouldn't you?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And not only that, I mean, you know, we talked about it last week with the approaching deadline coming up. How does that really help him when Pittsburgh, is at a point where they're like, well, we don't even need you. Look at what James Conner's doing. Yeah. Even though if James Conner would have had one of his weeks that he's had over the last, up until this week, I would have won my week again this week, but he had a 17-point week. how does that help your $20 million case? When you sit out, you hold out, and your, what do we call him, your backup completely takes over for the team.
Yeah, and it looks like here his agent's name is, I'm going to go with Adissa Bakari, and it's with the Dow Loans, L-O-H-E-L-O-H-N-E-S, Loans is how I'm guessing that's pronounced, agency. So that's who represents him. I'm not buying it again. You want to sit out. It's your choice. Obviously you have the money to walk away from it. You were paid pretty well last year, and I get it. But, it's not going to be there. I mean, it's great that you can say, okay, well, I'm one of the best players in the league. I want to be paid like it. Just not going to happen. You're going to be paid like one of the best running backs. That's not an issue, but you're not going to get quarterback money. Very few of those guys get quarterback money.
Well, not only that, I mean, like you said, you're going to claim to be one of the best players in the league, and yet you sit out and you're back up pretty much. I don't want to say out
right.
Them, but definitely show them off.
Yeah, and I know, Bell has a little different skill set than Conner. They've both been really equal in running the ball. But I think Bell is a little better receiver. You can kind of use him in those different formations that everybody is so, enamored with as of right now. But yeah, it's not a big enough difference to really, you know, to really make that huge of an issue out of it. So you know, just one of those, you know, one of those weird things. I mean, he took a chance, and you know, I mean, obviously, best case scenario was for the, you know, the Steelers running game to flop and them to come begging back to him, and it didn't go that way. Yeah, so you know, we'll have to see how other teams react to it, and you know, if they think he's that guy. But I mean, are you surprised like I am that he didn't come in?
I am very surprised, but does it have anything to do with James Conner? You know,
yeah, you wonder. So, but all right, well, you know, that's just kind of sad and kind of tired. So we'll let Le'Veon Bell go. Now we probably don't have to talk about him the rest of the year because it's decided. Oh, you got another thing?
Yeah, no, I said one more in the football. The Bills didn't release that quarterback.
Yes, well, actually, the Bills made two releases. I don't know if you saw the other one. They sent the Peterman packing. After they won with Matt Barkley, who they got off the street, I think, literally 2 weeks ago. So they shipped, yeah, the Peterman is out of the job. And they also cut Terrell Pryor today, the wide receiver. He had been with them for all of about 2 weeks, and he was sent packing. So, but yeah, the last thing I just wanted to let everybody know, if you haven't seen the update yet, and obviously there's still plenty of time before it, the Monday night game this week was supposed to be the game they play in Mexico City every year. Well, apparently the field was in such bad shape that they moved the game back to Los Angeles. You know, it was the Rams who were giving up the home game. And so they're going to host the game instead of playing it in Mexico.
Yeah, I saw the update, but I didn't actually read, so I didn't really. I thought they were going to talk about a game next year.
You know.
No, go ahead. Before I switch topics.
No, I was going to say. I was just going to say. Luck. You know, it's probably a good thing that we ended up, you know, taking the day off yesterday due to my, however you want to describe it. I'm going to call it just a run of bad luck, because they handed out some awards yesterday, Dan, and you know, I have absolutely no issue at all with the fact that Ronald Acuna Jr. was named National League Rookie of the Year. I mean, he had a fantastic year. You know, I really think any of those three guys could have won it, and I wouldn't have had an issue with Acuna or Soto or even Walker Buehler, you know, go ahead and taking that award home. But sadly, in the American League, the guys were dumb enough to get hung up and enamored on a guy who, because like I'm hearing, Dan, because, boy, he pitched and hit. Oh, no. What do we do, Dan? A guy pitched and hit?
Well, you know what that means. Not next year, but 2020 is going to be the MVP.
Right. You know, I mean, so, you know, it's just kind of.
Well, I know why it worked out that way.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it's like, just incredibly stupid that, you know, this is, well, you know, nobody's done it since blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, great. Did he do it well enough to win an award?
No, but, you know, the problem was that Labar and Miguel took both away from each other. So that's what happened.
Yeah.
He you know that's gonna be one of the things.
You know, that's definitely something that, you know, could happen. So, you know, just one of those things. But, you know, looking at it, I don't see, you know, and then, you know, maybe you can answer me this, Dan, because they continue to call him a two-way player. But is he really a two-way player? I mean, have you seen him play defense?
Yeah, I guess. Well, you know, because that doesn't matter. It's only hitting or pitching. You know,
right.
You throw 100 miles
an
hour.
But does it make him a two-way player?
No, it doesn't.
So.
Technically, it doesn't even make him a five-tool player.
Yeah. But yeah, you know, looking at the voting here, he got 25 out of what it looks like 29 first place votes. So there are 25 guys who probably should have their ballots revoked. Andujar got 5 first place votes and 20 second place votes. Gleyber didn't get any first place votes. He did land 3 seconds and 16 third. Joey Wendell, I didn't hear many people talking about him, got 3 seconds and 8 thirds. And then Daniel Pulka of the White Sox and Ryan Yarbrough of the Rays each got a third place vote. So yeah, I don't know. Just kind of looking at it here, I don't know what the hell they were thinking, or you know, they just got caught up in the hype, or you know, I understand that a lot of these guys are too stupid to think for themselves, and you know, they just kind of go on and say, okay, well, they said this guy's a great player, here it's his award, here you can have it.
Especially if it's a stolen base.
Yeah, and no surprise, Dan, Palka's third place vote came from one of the stronger voters.
From one of the what?
One of the guys from Chicago, the guy from the Tribune, Teddy Greenstein, voted for Palka as his third place vote. And then just like that, Yarbrough's third place vote came from the Dick Scanlon, who worked for the Lakeland Ledger in Florida. So, I guess you gotta keep a little love for the hometown guy. So.
Oh yeah.
But yeah,
so you're
you know it's
of that, but.
Yeah,
you
know, it's tough.
To the...
I'm kind of giving up on these idiots, so.
Oh, excuse me. I was waiting, too.
Yeah, but then, you know, over in the National League, Acuna actually got 27 of what looks like 30 first-place votes. I guess there's one more voter in the National League. Soto got 2 first-place votes, and Walker Buehler got the other one. Second place was kind of the opposite. Acuna got 3, Soto got 26, and Buehler got 1. And then Buehler dominated with 30 third-place votes. The other guys getting third-place votes, Brian Anderson of the Marlins got 4, Jack Flaherty of the Cardinals got 2, and then Harrison Bader of the Cardinals, Yohishi Hisana Hirana of the Diamondbacks got 1, easy for me to say, and Jeff McNeil of the Mets got 1. I don't have much of a problem with this one. Did you see the National League going? I mean, was Acuna your pick, or did you have one of the other two winning? Like I said, I could have settled for either guy.
I was thinking about who I picked. I actually picked Eloy. So, obviously, I don't know what the hell I was thinking, but he was traded.
Who did you pick?
I don't know why. There, Eloy Jimenez was in there, so maybe I screwed up. I wish one of us would have caught that earlier in the season. whatever. I'm going to pick him again for the White Sox next year. But no, I think Acuna deserved it. It could have went. I think it could have went anyway. I think any of those guys could have won. I'd have been fine with it. That's why when I checked it earlier, I was like, what the hell was I thinking? I must have been tired.
just one of those things. But then you mentioned, right before we went on air that Brian Snitker was named NL Manager of the Year. I have the totals here. He got 17 first-place votes. Craig Counsell did get 11 of those first-place votes, Dan. I know you were talking about Bud Black. He only managed one first-place vote. There was one other first-place vote. Dan, you want to guess who got that?
Joe Maddon
picks up the first-place
vote.
From Joe Maddon's first-place vote comes from Bruce Levine.
Oh, of course.
If you live in the Chicago area, and you know Bruce Levine very well. He does the baseball analysis on the local station. And, he had Maddon first with Counsell second and Snitker third is how his ballot looked.
Now,
so that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. Well, you got to do the hometown love even if they don't deserve it, right? That's how you keep your job in Chicago.
Yeah, but to put him first ahead of the guy who beat him in the division with what, when you look at it, you would think is the lesser team.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean, that's how you keep your job in Chicago.
Yeah.
Can't
oh, yeah.
The boat.
So.
With Snitker, do you think the fact that he's basically spent his whole career with the Braves, do you think that helped give him maybe not an edge, but just a little bit of voter intrigue?
Yeah, I was wondering because I really thought this was Counsell's award to win. I mean, when I kind of look at it. He seems to be the guy who did the most with the least out of this. Not that Milwaukee didn't have some talent, but, they're building Snitker's team up to win, and I get it. They were a year early, and that's why a lot of people are giving him the award. But, at the start of the year, I mean, nobody had, a lot of people had Milwaukee third in the division. The Cubs definitely were the team that should have won it, and a lot of people had the Cardinals as the second place team. And all of a sudden here's Milwaukee just kind of hanging around, and they made some really good moves, and I think Counsell was probably the guy, but I'm okay with this. Bud Black finished third, then Mike Schilt from the Cardinals picked up 2 seconds and a third place vote. I'm a little surprised that Dave Roberts only got one third place vote. But that's kind of how it goes, I guess, huh?
Yeah. Well, he's been to the dance before, so.
Yeah.
Do you think they're at that time now where they're releasing, letting us know who the AL manager, because I did see before I hopped in the ride that it's AL coming up next.
I actually have it for you here. Bob Melvin is the American League Manager of the Year. He got 18 first, 10 second place, and one third place vote. Alex Cora came in second, 7, 11, and 11. Kevin Cash is third at 5, 6, and 14. A.J. Hinch rolled in fourth of the Astros. He got 3 seconds and two-thirds. And then Aaron Boone picked up two third-place votes to jump into the top five. So, yeah, it's Bob Melvin. I think he's won this award before. Yeah, Bob Melvin is the eighth manager to win the Manager of the Year award three or more times. He won in 2012 with the A's and 2007 with the Diamondbacks. So there you are.
I forgot he was with the D-backs. He likes letter A.
But yeah, this was another one I wasn't. You know, I didn't really have a horse in the race. I kind of thought all three guys had merit. I wasn't buying Kevin Cash as much as the other two, but, you know, obviously Cora's team was dominant all year in his first year. And, you know, the A's were a surprise. I honestly think I probably would have went with Cora having I had a vote. But I don't have any real issue with Melvin winning it, do you?
No, I definitely lean towards Cora. I think being a first-year manager and able to kind of keep it all together.
Yeah, and oddly, Aaron Boone got his two votes. Aaron Boone got a vote from a Kansas City writer and a vote from a Los Angeles writer. He didn't get any hometown love.
Wow. It's not easy to appease them.
Yeah, no kidding. So they were crushing him, but yeah. So there you go. We're all caught up, Dan. What are we handing out tomorrow? Are we handing out Cy Young? Are we handing out MVP? What do we hand out?
No, I think it's Cy Young and then MVP. The Cy Young, you got to make.
Yeah.
I don't get that anymore.
They're going to make me wait to complain about Mike Trout till the end of the week. So
yeah. Till like heaven.
But I do have to, even in the crawler here, they mention, you know, where their little news thing on the BBWAA website that two-way player Shohei Ohtani was named Rookie of the Year. He didn't play a game. He didn't play an inning of defense, Dan, when he wasn't on the mound. But would he be a three-way player then if he would have played the outfield for an inning or something? You know, would he be, you know, because then he would play the outfield, he would pitch, he would hit. So that would make him a three-way player? Or am I just confusing everything?
No, I think that would be the consensus. So the only three-way player would be the guy who used to play relief for the Cubs to play for the A's. I can't think of his name.
Travis Wood,
the only three-way player in the game, next to Babe Ruth.
Yeah.
But I don't think Babe Ruth do it in the same season.
I don't know. I'd have to look. But don't forget that the Padres had a guy by the name of Christian Bethencourt 2 years ago, who pitched in relief and played. So he was a three-way player as well. It just didn't go so well for him. He couldn't basically had trouble throwing strikes.
Yeah, well, whatever happened in San Diego doesn't seem to go so well.
Yeah, so yeah, it's kind of the thing there. I actually want to I want to double check how he did to make sure. Yeah, he only hit in 8 games. No, that was 2017. 8 games. He only had 7 plate appearances. Let's see if they got his pitching on here. Yeah, he pitched in 4 games, but he had a monster ERA of 14.73. I believe he spent last year in the minors trying to kind of hone his craft. Let me see if he. It looks like he was with the Rockies. But they did not let him pitch last year. He was strictly a hitter. He was with Milwaukee. He hit 328 in he hit 297 in AAA with 20 bombs. So he actually had a pretty good year in AAA.
Yeah, well, last year was the year of catchers for Milwaukee. They had like 10 of them. Before I take off, I just wanted to throw this at you, and you know, I know Giancarlo got that huge extension from Miami prior to Jeter and company coming in. 26 years old, Bryce Harper, 13 years till you're 39. Do you see that happening? And is anyone crazy enough to do that?
You know, I'm sure there are definitely, you know, definitely teams out there that are you know, kind of dumb enough to try to go that route. I mean, yeah, the weird part is, I mean, I would love to know where the money ends up if they're gonna go that long, because it seems like we're talking $30 million a season, you know, minimum. So I don't know if there'll be escalators or, like, you know, if the contract will be loaded one way or the other, or, you know, where the opt-outs are. But, you know, there are a lot of teams on board, apparently, you know, who want to be in these negotiations. You just wonder if these terms will run them off a little bit, because, I mean, we're getting into terms and money that only – certain teams are going to be able to afford. And I don't know if these teams were really in on him to begin with. You know, obviously, you know, there's no real interest from the Red Sox. You know, there's just not a spot for him there. But, you know, they would have that kind of money. You know, we've heard the Yankee talk, but then, you know, they would have to move somebody. You know, we've heard the Stanton rumors, but again, who's taking that contract? You know, he would have to go to a team that could sign Harper themselves. The Dodgers and the Angels fit in. The Angels have thrown money around before, so it's not like this would be new to them. You know, remember they overpaid Josh Hamilton. At the time they signed C.J. Wilson, it looked like a good deal, and then he just couldn't stay healthy. So he ended up being a huge bust. You know, they just brought Upton in with a lot of money to stay last year. But, you know, they've got Trout in a couple years that they're going to have to figure out what to do with. You know, which is one of the other reasons I'm a little surprised Philadelphia is in as big as they allegedly are on Bryce Harper, because, you know, Trout is from the Philadelphia area. And you would think as a free agent, you know, he may more be a more likely candidate to want to come back and play in Philadelphia than Harper. You know, those Philly fans are tough. And, you know, with the year Harper had, even though his second half was much better than his first, when you're looking at those numbers and you see 240 whatever, how are the Philly fans going to react to that? You know, I mean, they're notorious for – you know, I don't want to say, you know, if you want to call them bad fans, but they're notorious for being rough on even their own guys. And with a year like that from, you know, from Harper, you wonder how they would handle, you know, say they sign him and he hits 230. You know, but he hits a lot of home runs, you know, maybe he drives in some runs. I guess it would depend on if they win or not, on if they would accept that. But yeah, it could be bad. And then, you know, I did see the talk. I don't know if you guys have caught this, but there's been some rumors that the Phillies may need to dump a contract like Carlos Santana to bring Harper in. And then, you know, you kind of stumble to that point of who would be willing to take Santana's contract, you know, because I think they signed him. It was 4 or 5 years. You know, and it was pretty good money. And you I mean, obviously, I think a return to the American League would benefit him greatly, because he really has more DH skills than he does defensive skills at this point in time. But I you know, you just don't know if they would, you know, if they could move it, and if, you know, would somebody take it, and how much would Philly pay? So, yeah, there's so much. But, I mean, could you see, you know, unless there's some kind of protection for the team at the end of the deal, like when you get to that 10, 11, 12-year mark, I don't think I would want to see a team that I root for jump in and try to pin Harper down to a deal like that. I just don't think it would be of their best interest, or you know, anything like that. I mean, obviously baseball's not headed for a salary cap or anything. I mean, they have the luxury tax, but you know, how many teams are, you know, over that or around that or under, you know, so close to it, it's not even funny. You know, I know that doesn't affect too much judgment by teams. I know the Dodgers were one of the teams trying to stay under it, and the Yankees were trying to do that as well. But yeah, I 13 years is a long time to be invested in the, you know, that one guy. And you know, even though he's young enough to go that long, you know, he has had some injury issues, and you wonder towards the back half of that deal, are you gonna be getting a $30 million player if that's what you're paying him? So, it's a scary proposition, but you know, there could be a team or two that you know, that's willing to take that chance. I just, you know, like I said, I just hope it's not anybody that I root for. So, you know, I'll have to email Schomburg Stu and see if he would like to see the Cubs tie that up for $13 million, because I know he was one of the guys who was kind of buying the Harper to the Cubs hype, you know, early on, even though it's been reported now that, you know, the Cubs have zero interest pretty much whatsoever in bringing him in. You know, I think it's one of those things where early on you just got to kind of pretend and be like, oh, yeah, of course we're interested. We'd love to, you know, talk to them and see what they would want. But, you know, when it boils down to it, there's going to be two teams maybe, I think, in the end, probably the Phillies and the Giants, that are, you know, going to probably be battling it out for his services. You know, maybe the Nationals try to jump back in, but, you know, I don't think we're going to see the Yankees come up with, you know, 10 years and $500 million or, you know, anybody like that jump in, one of these other teams. I really think he ends up with the Phillies or the Giants. So we'll see how it plays out. But, you know, I don't want to spend 13 years.
Yeah, well, and I seen Uncle Bob this weekend or the week, I think right after the weekend of Halloween. And he's like, oh, Bryce Harper's coming to the, I'm like, no, he's not.
Yeah.
You know, and Le'Veon Bell's going to the Bears. Like, no. I go, it doesn't make sense. And I go, not only that, I go, in what year is this? In like 3 years, they've got literally almost all their guys up for free agency. So
yeah,
you eliminate more than half of them. You're eliminating Bryant, Rizzo. You know, I don't know if Baez stays on the path he's going. You're definitely not re-signing him. You know, and not only that, I brought up the luxury tax. Oh, they don't give a crap about the luxury tax. Interesting you should say that, because every team in Major League Baseball, with the exception of the Red Sox, but I think they will be under soon, have all positioned themselves to be under the luxury tax. So you cannot tell me, you know, and it, maybe it's because you and I look into, you know, not so much the finances of the team, but what they're working with and what they have to spend and what puts them in that position. And literally there's only three teams over the luxury tax for this season and next season. And you know, the problem with it is every year that you're over it, the tax gets higher. So
yeah,
just because you're over this year and next year doesn't mean it's, you know, I forget the exact numbers, but let's just say it's 2%. So you're over at 2%, you know, this year you pay the luxury tax. Next year it doesn't stay at 2%, it goes up. And then it continues to go up for, I think, three seasons, and then you have to continuously pay it. And, you know, just like NBAers, they don't stick with it. Same with Major League Baseball. If the luxury tax wasn't an issue, then none of the teams would have continuously tried to put themselves underneath it.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, if there wasn't a luxury tax, the Yankees would just sign everybody. You know, everybody would be a Yankee or a Red Sox or a Dodger. You know, I mean, that's part of where the luxury taxes came in, you know, was to kind of, you know, thwart that. Because that, you know, that's all George Steinbrenner used to do. Oh, well, if I want this guy, I'm just going to sign him. You know, nobody can touch me. You know, and they didn't all work out, but if he wanted a guy, here's your money.
Well, and oddly, aside from that contract, the Giancarlo, the Yankees are in one of the best positions the way with the talent that they have, because it's young, controllable, and they're not into these big contracts right now.
Yeah, they don't really have anybody in that position yet, right? Their guys are still, you know, in arbitration. Right?
Yeah, and Brett Gardner was the biggest one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Brett Gardner was one of the biggest ones. He's off his long, you know, I don't know if you'd call it long term, you know, considering an A-Rod contract that they signed, but he had a big contract. I think one of the biggest ones is Giancarlo and then Aroldis Chapman. But I don't believe Dellin Betances is on a big deal. You go through the lineup. CeCe, what is CeCe getting? He's not, you know, he's been on a year-to-year. I think this is the third season. Yeah.
Here's what they got. Stanton, obviously, no surprise, was at the top of $26 million. Tanaka is still under contract for $22 million. And then, obviously, the one that kills him is Jacoby Ellsbury is still on contract there for just a little over $21 million.
I was confusing Brett Gardner
and he. Yeah, Chapman's at $17.2 million. They just got CeCe for $8 million and Gardner for $7.5 million. Everybody else is arbitration or pre-arbitration. So, yeah, they're in a good spot. With the exception of they do have a $4 million deferred payment to Alec Rodriguez.
Oh. Forgot how that contract works.
But yeah, other than that Ellsbury contract, I mean, they're okay with, you know, what they got going on. And I think the last year of that deal for him, or does he have another? What's he still here? What year are we on? 20? They're going into 2019. Sadly, he's got 2020 as well. So he does have an option for 2021, but you know they're not picking that up. So, they're kind of stuck with that albatross for a couple more years unless they can come up with something. But, yeah. So, yeah, that's... You know, that's kind of, they're in a really, really good position, but I still don't see them adding a Bryce Harper salary to you.
No, and they're definitely in the position to do so if they wish.
Yeah. But, yeah, and then, you know, like I said, I know, you know, I was talking about the Phillies, and I didn't remember what they signed Santana for, because there were rumors that they would want to move him if they brought in Harper. So, and, yeah, and, like, they're not carrying a ton of contracts either. Obviously, they got Arrieta, you know, at $25 million, but then, you know, Santana's a little over $20 million. Tommy Hunter's at $9 million. That's a little interesting. They got Neshek at $7.75 million. Odubel Herrera at $3.53 million, and then Scott Kingery is $1.5 million. So, yeah, I mean, if they did decide to move Santana, he's another guy sitting on a couple years left. He's got this year and next year. His salary actually goes up $500,000 next year. And he is sitting on an option for 2021, but, you know, I don't see anybody picking that up. So, yeah, they would be in a decent spot to make the Harper signing as they're rumored to. So.
Well, you know, and one of the things I heard, I don't know who I heard talking about it over the weekend here and there. You know, there's that age-old adage that, you know, for the end of Bryce Harper's career, say the last 3 years when, you know, he's batting 230, putting up, you know, 19 home runs and 60 RBIs. You know, you're still paying him $25 million. And, oh, but you're paying for the, you know, the beginning of his career, blah, blah, blah. Well, if that's the theory, do you front load it to where for a few years he's making $50 million a year so that when you get down to those last 3 years, you know, he's only making it into the low 20s or teens. And even that just doesn't, you know, to me it doesn't make sense. That would be the only way he'd be able to be moved to an American League team if, say, a Philly, you know, the Phillies were to sign him. It's just insane, and that someone would want to go 13 years. And even for Bryce Harper, I mean, he's spent his career so far in Washington, and what has it gotten him? Nothing. Well, no, I'm sorry. He won. Yeah, well, you know, he won the home run derby.
Well, he won an MVP.
So. Oh, yeah, well, he won an MVP, but. At the end of the day, don't you want that World Series? And if you're with a team for 13 years, then what comes out of it but, you know, a bunch of runner-ups? But, you know, was the contract about the money or was it about the championship? Because I know these guys want their money, but I know they want ultimately that World Series ring in the end.
Yeah, you know, which is also part of the reason I kind of threw the White Sox out of the conversation. You know, because even signing Bryce Harper, they're probably still, you know, 2 to 3 years away from being ready to win. And is he going to want to sit through that? You know, how is he going to be on a bad team for 2 years?
Yeah. You know, that's when they make the trade back for Chris Sale.
Yeah. You know, and then, yeah, you know, like the Giants, you know, the other landing spot, they're financially interesting here if they're going to go get Harper because they have Posey and Cueto who both make over $20 million. DeMarja and Melanson make $19 million. You got Belt a little over $17 million, Crawford a little over $15 million, and then you got Longoria and Bumgarner around the $12 million mark. Remember, Bumgarner's in the last year of his contract.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, imagine what he's going to get. You know, he's going to hit the free agent market as a 30-year-old lefty. I mean, I know he's had a bit of a down couple years, but if he bounces back this year, I mean, there's another guy looking at, you know, 5 years and $200 million, isn't he?
Yeah. And you would think with the rivalry that the Giants and Dodgers have, they'd want to maintain him. What does Cueto have? 3 years left? Cueto has about, what, 2 or 3? Samardzija should be
Cueto
up on
his. Yeah, Cueto
has
multiple years, and so does Samardzija. So,
oh, he still has more. I thought the White Sox signed him for, like, 4 years.
I think the Giants signed him. So, the music means it's time for Dan to get out. We'll have to look at the Samardzija contract tomorrow. You don't have to do while we're gone. Go over to sportsmanradio.com. Check out the phone over there. Get the link. Follow it over to the Facebook page. But don't forget the Twitter feed, which is at sportsmanradio. You can hit Dan and I down on Twitter as well if you'd like to do that. As always,